So I got up this morning to put my Summit shirt on and realized I had reached my summit. I need to lose some weight. So, praise God. The Lord's good. It's the flood's fault. Amen. Hey, I'm just going to kind of give you an overview. I'm going to just be a little bit different, but I'm going to give you an overview this morning about our dreams and what our dreams are all about. But, you know, when we approach the Lord, with this, can I just be real this morning? Can we approach the Lord with this negativity and wah, wah, wah? You know what we get back? Goose egg. Because God's not interested in all of our pity party. And so we've almost made God like we go to God as spiritual whiners. It's like, here I am, God, with all my problems again. Now, you say, well, Pastor, God doesn't want you to come with your problems. Yes, he wants you to come with your problems saying, God, I know you're the solution. Amen. And faith. Yes. Not throwing a pity party. How many has kids in here today? How many will spank your kids behind for throwing a pity party? Come on. The rest of you need to. And so the deal is when they're throwing a pity party, they're getting nothing out of me. If you're whining, oh no, just don't come here with a whine. Now, if you come here, Dad, I'm believing, and this is what I want out of life, and this is my plan, this is my expectation, I'm all buying into that. But when you're coming and whining to me, I'm probably already checked out. My brain just kind of left the building. And the wall went up. Because our Heavenly Father, who knows how to give good gifts, already has an answer for your question. The word of the Lord says that before you ever pray, he has the answer. Okay. And that would be exciting to me to know that I'm going to the Lord with a prayer request that he already has an answer for. So I'm going with the mindset for an answer, not woe is me. Can everybody say that's good? All right, you're dismissed. God bless you. Have a great week. Because if you get that, you got it. That's really the answer right there. Like any good father, he wants us to give us the desires of our heart. I just love doing it for my kids. It's a joy to do for my kids. And, you know, you think sometimes in doing for your kids, I wish I was a millionaire. Well, it's probably good you're not because your kids are already rotten like mine. And if we were millionaires, how rotten would they really be? But the truth is, I desire, it's so awesome to do for your kids. It's like, yes, I want to do for my kids. How much more? Come on, somebody say, how much more? How much more does our Heavenly Father want to do for us? How much more does he want to give us the desires of our heart? How much more? We talk a lot about the Father's love for us, but when it comes to understanding that, I think we don't really grasp all that there is out there about the Father's love and how much he really loves us. And when it comes to God doing something amazing that we desire, sometimes we have little or no faith. Because we have minimized our thought of God or our expectation of God. And so we've minimized the ability for God to do something amazing in our life. And we want to work it out. How many of you want to work it out? All of us control freaks want to work it out. I'll work this out, God. I'm going to work this out. And really, God's like, you don't have to. I got you. You really don't have to work it out. And so really, honestly, we're like that little gerbil that's on that wheel and we're working it out. We're working it out, 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 working it out. We get off and we're in the same place we were when we got on the wheel. It's like, oh God, I'm going to work this out. What are you doing, God? Work it out, Lord. You better work that out, Ryan. Work it out. So we get on that wheel and we work. I want y'all to get this in your mind. And then we get off and we're yet in the same place. But when we step into the presence of God, we say, God, what's your plan? We step in a dimension or in a place where it's already worked out. It's the difference between, we're all going through storms. It's the difference between going through the storm and feeling like we're dying and going through the storm feeling completely safe. I was talking to Pastor Lane this morning. It's kind of funny. We probably talk more now than we did when he lived here. But I was talking to Pastor Lane this morning. We were talking about going through the storms. And we were talking about how great it is to walk through storms of life because they're great teachers.
Yeah, right. Amen. That's good.
But if you don't know Jesus, they're disasters. When you know him, they're teachers, and you're like, oh, this. Thank you, Lord, for the storm, because I would have never known had it not been for this. How many's had that teacher in your life? How many's learned some awesome stuff in the middle of the storm? God is good. So we've been taught sometimes that dreaming is a selfish thing. Like, you know, you dream, it's kind of selfish. Now, I want to help you. There's a difference between personal, selfish dreams that are selfish. Like, oh, I'm dreaming about, I don't even know how to give an analogy, but you understand. And then there's this God dreams. Now, God dreams are connected to our dreams. Okay. God dreams are connected to our dreams. So the deal is that when we're dreaming from a carnal, selfish, all about me dream, it's usually it typically doesn't happen like we expect it to. But when we're dreaming from a kingdom perspective, now that changes everything in our life. Jason, that was awesome this morning about expanding our territories. How are we dreaming about the next that God has for us? Are you okay? Yes. Oh, you're making me hurt. I was like, I wanted to pray for you. All right. Michelle, go pray for her. So God is good. And he has a dream and a plan for your life that is very significant. I want you to say right now, God's dream for my life is significant. What is God's dream for your life? I want you to put that question mark in your mind today. What is God's dream for my life? We live our lives committed to God's word. And when we stay in his word, it develops our dreams. You got to get this little teaching this morning. I'm going slow for a reason. I'm not going to be long, but I'm going slow for a reason because I want you to get these little nuggets. If you live in God's word, it develops our God dreams. If we live in a world of carnality, it develops, what do you call those things? Not an illusion, but a mirage. You see something that's not there. But when God gives you a dream, it's already there. When the Lord speaks to you, it's already in the works. It's already there. So all you're doing is walking into his purpose. Psalms 37, verse 4. Let's read this together. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. There's a key component here that we need to understand. Delight yourself in the Lord. Now, I've already preached this, and so this morning I was just going over my notes, and I just looked at that word again, Matt, and I thought, delight yourself in the Lord. Wait a minute, time out. We want the second line, and He'll give you the desires of your heart, but why don't we, what's the deal with the delight yourself in the Lord part? How much time do I spend delighting myself in the Lord? And how much time do I spend over here wondering, where is the Lord? Well, God, you didn't do this. God, you didn't do that. God, you did that. And God says, whoa, what? You're holding me accountable for something you didn't spend time with me in prayer about. Mama Kay, the Holy Spirit ain't Santa Claus. Ain't that right? Like, well, you know what? I'm just going to go sit in the Holy Spirit's lap, and I'm just going to get my little Christmas list out. No, He said, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I'm going to talk to all you married people today. It's like walking in your house and saying, hey, baby, you got supper ready? I ain't going to go at my house. I don't know about yours. I better delight myself in the Lord. There needs to be time spent with God so that we can step into God's vision for our life, and then all of a sudden it will be our dream, our destiny. Let me give you the illustration. David, go fight the giant. He had the command. What do I do to fight the giant? Well, everybody had all these ideas for David. It wasn't good. Put this armor on, do this. So go fight the giant. So he goes and fights the giant. But if he went the way that man had him go, he would have died. Well, because he obeyed God, he just picked up some smooth stones. Now, this is what people didn't know. When the Lord spoke to David, He said, the battle is mine, and I will give it into your hands. So while they were singing, Saul has killed his thousands and David's killed his 10,000s, David was singing, God has killed his thousands. You just don't know. I'm getting the accolades, but I'm giving them all to God. Why are you doing? I'm living in His dream for my life. I'm living in His purpose. This is what He created me to do. And I figured this out a long time ago in a field with a lion and a bear. Somebody said, that's really good. I love what John said last Sunday about there are times in our life that God doesn't answer our prayer because He knows a better answer. Right? Because we have this idea, God, answer this prayer this way. God, you, this is my plan. And God says, oh, well, I'm not going to answer that prayer because you know what? My plan's better. Or it's not my time, you know. In a few weeks from now, I'm going to walk my oldest daughter down the aisle and I'm going to give her to some punk kid that, no, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. He's a great guy. A few weeks, I'm going to take my daughter down the aisle and I'm going to freely, lovingly surrender her life to someone else. And I'm excited about that, all joking aside. But that would have been, I wouldn't have done that 10 years ago. She wasn't ready. There comes a time in life for the dream to come alive. And if it's premature, it's a nightmare instead of a dream. So God's desire sometimes is about timing, not whether He will or won't. Hebrews 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for whoever draws near to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. them that go after him, those that seek his face, those that love him, those that desire his presence. Dreaming is our next level of faith where God wants to take you. But we need to learn how to dream. As we live out God's plan for our lives, we begin to dream bigger dreams. Not because God gets bigger, not because God gets greater, but because we have more understanding of who our daddy is and what he wants for our life. It's funny to me that Eddie Joe and I got to spend some time yesterday, and we were really talking about how we're getting old. And realizing that we're so much smarter now than we were a few years ago. And we were talking about being loud and obnoxious, you know, and always saying what's on our mind. As you get older, you learn to just keep your mouth shut because you ain't that smart. That's called wisdom. Right? Like, when I was 19, I knew everything. When I was 19, I could tell you how to do anything you asked me how to do. I knew how to raise kids. Yeah, I knew everything there was to know about it. I'm 53 and I'm scratching my head. I don't have a clue. Right? I wasn't even living for God, but I could tell you how to pastor a church. I knew how to do that. I knew everything there was to know. It's funny how as you grow up, you gain wisdom. You learn to be quiet and wait for more. But when you're young, you run after and miss a lot of stuff. As we mature in the Lord, we learn how to be quiet, be waiting on the Lord, and we get more than running after something and missing a lot. See, God wants to download his dream into your life, and it's so much bigger than your dream that you have. It's a place that you've never been or things you've never done, but it's in the waiting that we struggle. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to learn to do this, and I'm learning to do this. Rita, I'm learning to do this. Rita and I had a long conversation about this a few weeks ago. There's a place of rest where our dreams come alive. There's a place of rest where God begins to download our life. And you've already heard me say this, but I'm going to say it again. You know the number one problem with the American church today, and I can't speak about other places, but the American church, is we're too busy. Amen. Amen. I have a book in my office. I'm trying to remember who wrote it, but I've read it several times. I probably need to read it again. Too busy not to pray. I got too many things on the horizon for me not to spend time with God and hear what he's saying. I have a 19-year-old that's getting married, but I have a 9-year-old that's getting started. There's a lot of responsibility that God's put in my hands that I need a download from the Lord on. There's decisions that I need that I need God to speak to me about. There are dreams that God wants to give me. There are places that God wants to take me. And if I'm so busy trying to fulfill the thing that I think that God wants, I miss the very essence of God. Am I helping anybody today?
Yes, sir.
Just rest. Rest. Have you ever looked at anybody's face and you just think, oh, bless their heart, they're so weary. That's what y'all, don't look at me right now. They're so weary. Don't you love it when you get ready to go somewhere and you walk in this place and you've put on your best clothes and you're looking good and somebody says, are you tired? Shut up. Thanks for the word of encouragement. You see, you can put on the nicest dress you have or the nicest suit you have, but it's not going to change the place that you are.
Yeah, that's
And so we need to slow down and hear from God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm only going to find joy in His presence. And I'm only going to find understanding in His presence. And I'm only going to find peace in His presence. Everybody shout, rest.
Rest.
That's a good place. Pay attention to kingdom imaginations. When I was a kid, I know nobody else did this, but when I was a kid, I had a huge imagination. Did you ever have any friends that wasn't there when you were a kid? I did. I didn't need nobody to play with. I remember my dad, one time I had a bad, one of my many bad report cards, my dad grounded me to the backyard. He said, "You cannot leave the yard." I was like, "That's awesome. You can't leave the yard. That's fine." My mother said, "You got to let the kid out of the backyard. He has tore the whole entire yard up." I had a bike track. I had ramps built. It's called making the best of what you have, right? Because I had imagination. So I was tearing stuff out. I was emptying the shed. I was building things. My mother says, "Let him go play at the neighbor's house. Let him go. Let him run through the woods. Let him ride his bike." You know, back in those days, we'd get on our bike and ride to the other side of town because it was safe then. And so, you know, I had this imagination of these. I was building empires. And in my little mind, I was seeing things that were huge, that were bigger than my ability. Oh, you got to get this today. I was building skyscrapers with 2x4s because I could see and I could imagine how great they were. They had no elevators. They had no concrete, but they were big. You see, God wants to open your imagination for things that are bigger than your ability. And if your dream is something you can do, it's probably not God's dream. So what God gives starts to give us dreams that are bigger than our ability, and we rein those dreams in and say, "Oh, whoa, 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 wait a minute, God, I can't do that." And He says, "I know." That's the deal. So you need to start paying attention to the imagination, the things that God's giving you, the dreams that God is putting in place. Then there's the responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. When God gives you the dream that's bigger than you, greater than your ability, He also gives you the responsibility. What is the responsibility? To do the first thing God said. The first thing God said was, "You cannot grow a tree, but you can plant a seed." Oftentimes, when God says, "I want you to have this big tree," we say, "Well, I can't do that, God." He says, "No, I know. Just plant the seed." "Well, I want the tree, God." "I know, but you have to plant the seed and wait." It's in the waiting that our dreams come to pass. It's in the waiting. It's in the preparation. It's in the planning. Pastor Jason's going to be speaking next week on planning. It's in the waiting that we get sometimes so distracted. Now, let me help you out about the waiting this morning. When you're in the waiting, this is the great opportunity to stand in the presence of God and just adore Him. Okay. Say that again, Rita. Worship while you wait. What are you doing when you're in the waiting and you're worshiping? You're seeing God do what you can't do. The seed is actually germinating in the ground and growing. Every dream that the Lord gives you is going to promote His kingdom. He's never going to give you a dream that's not going to promote His kingdom. If your dream don't promote His kingdom, it's probably not a God dream. Let's read Ephesians 2 out of the Passion. "We have become His poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One, Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and God and good works we would do and fulfill it. I was speaking to the youth a couple Wednesday nights ago, and as I was speaking, the Lord downloaded something in my life. If Ephesians 4 is correct, and it is, that before the worlds were framed, God already knew Aaron. He knew that smile. He knew that heart. He knew everything about it. If that is so, why would God keep that a secret? Why would God create you, Ricky, to be something amazing, which he did, and then not tell you? It's like, okay, Cody, you're going to be great, but I'm not going to tell you what you're going to be. I'm just going to laugh at you as you plunder through life and knocking your head around. No. This is the difference. He said, those that will seek me, I'll show them. Now, I've heard people say it's hiding seek or whatever it is. It's, no, it's not hiding seek. It is revealing. It's seeking to reveal. He wants to show you the plans he has for your life. He desires, Wendy, to show you his purpose. So why would he create you for greatness and then say, I'm never telling you? That's like buying your kid a bike for Christmas but never giving it to them. And you got it in your closet and they've outgrown it now. And you still have it. You say, I bought you this bike, but I wanted you to come find it and I never gave it to you. Ain't that funny? And they're like, no, that's not funny at all. I'm going to give you this 24-inch bike when you turn 18. And you're digging through the closet. You find it. You go, oh, look, my Christmas present from when I was 5. I'm so excited. No, God wants to give you the desires of your heart. And so he's looking for you to say, hey, God, what is it your plans you have for me? And at the moment you start asking God, this is my belief, that God starts telling you. Nobody else believes that? Anybody believe that when you start saying, God, okay, I'm just going to rest and I'm going to wait and I'm going to just listen, all of a sudden God starts downloading in your life your plans and your purpose. I think that's why we try to help people to understand this. Listen, I got married quick. I was married. I would have been married in a few days, but I had to deal with in-laws. And Peyton's having to do the same thing, and it's so fun. But the truth of the matter is, before I ever went out on a date with her, matter of fact, I told her sister a long time before, I don't remember the time frame, I'm going to marry your sister. And she said, you're crazy. Who's crazy now? You know why? Because honestly, I saw her, I talked to God, God said, that's my destiny. But I had to wait. I had to wait for that other dude to break up with her. Hey, the prophet told me, he said, all is fair in love and war. May the best man win. You're looking at the best man. Destiny. Destiny, people. And we don't live in the promises of God because we don't patiently wait for God or we don't seek God. We treat God as though he's just supposed to show up just because he made us, but he wants that time with you. And you can go through all of life. Listen to me. This is probably the most important point I'm going to make today. You can go through all of life and be saved on Judgment Day, but miss the joy of living. Thank you, Wendy. Can anybody else give me a golf clap in the house? You can. When he said, I want you to live life and to live it abundantly, we miss that part of the kingdom of God because we won't dream. We're scared to dream about the things of God. We're afraid to dream. We live in a place of like, okay, God, if this is you, then you just show up. And God say, no, seek me. I want to bless you. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
I won't spend much time on this, but you know the story of Joseph. It took 22 years for his dream to come to pass. And we can't wait 22 minutes. That's a good word. Mark 11:24. I'm trying to wind up here. Therefore, I tell you, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it will be yours. The power of having a kingdom heart and mind is that when you pray from a position, or when you pray and you believe on God, you pray from a position of influence. You influence God in your life. Why? You're his kid. He loves you. He desires. He wants to do great things in your life. You have influence on the heart of God. Amen. And now seeing through the eyes of the world, as the Lord gives us a creative ideas, it changes our lives. When we see through the eyes of the world, we just don't see it. But when we see through the imagination of the kingdom of God, boom, it comes to light. Eddie Joe, the world says you can't, but God says you can. The world says, you don't deserve favor. God says, you're my kid. You have favor. Listen, if I got what I deserved, you know what I mean? We went through this whole thing before. If I get what I deserved, if I look back at my 53 years of living and I look at the dumb things I've done and I've looked at the stupid mistakes I've made, if I got what I deserved according to man's opinion, I would be nothing. But God said, you're my kid. So I forgive you for what you've done wrong, and I bless you because you're going in the right direction. That's way more powerful than just a statement. Because here's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants you to live in your past in that place of undeserving so you never reach the full potential that God has for you. And so he's always reminding you of your past. Somebody say he's a liar. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power forever. On earth as it is in heaven. Reach up and grab the heavens. Reach up and grab the destiny that God created for you. Reach up and grab the dreams that God has for you. Look beyond yourself and your abilities or your inabilities and say, God, what is it that you said that I am? I'm pulling that out of the heavens. This is what separates selfish dreams from God dreams. Carnal dreams always breed greed, perverse thinking, pride, anger, fear, past hurts, etc. But when we dream out of the heart of our Father, those dreams produce pure things. That are holy, that are righteous, that are lovely, that are acceptable. Mark 11 says, therefore I tell you, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive it. You will receive it. You will receive it. Believe. Musicians can come. You will prosper as your soul prospers. You will be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. I want everybody to say this today. I want you to hold your hands out this, like this, and say, God wants to bless me. I rebuke the curse off my life that says I should live in poverty. God wants to bless me. I'm rich. I'm healthy. And I'm holy. Because he's holy. Do you believe that today? Somebody says, do you believe in prosperity preaching? Yes, I do. I believe that God wants me to prosper. There's a connection to it as my soul prospers. It's a funny thing how we are about the world how we think, how we let the world make us think. I took my wife on a date last night. She's never been to LSU game, so I took her to the LSU game. So this morning, I said, well, what'd you think? She said, it's pretty interesting. This is how she thinks. It's pretty interesting. It's kind of like a religious thing. I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, when they hit the right note, and they sang the right song, everybody started worshiping, and they had the little things they did. And I was like, you know, I wasn't even thinking about all that. But what we worship will always determine what we are rewarded with. Let me give you this. We will praise Drew Brees for making millions of dollars throwing a football. But let one of the saints in the church get a brand new nice car, and we're like, girl. We'll get all bitter about that. We should say, man, that is a beautiful brand new Cadillac. That's awesome. I'm so glad God blessed you with that. You see the difference in perspective? Don't let the preacher get one. Well, that's really bad. The preacher, like, what are you doing with my tithes? Perspective. Perspective. He said, what's that got to do with anything? Because our perspective always determines our destiny. And if we live from a place of poverty, that God thinks you are great because you're poor, you'll always be poor. Now, I'm not just talking about poor financially. I'm talking about poor. I'm talking about have a poor mentality. You'll never dream. You'll never have thoughts of greatness. You'll never believe that God is bigger than you are. You'll always put God in this little tiny box. But when you start dreaming about the greatness of God, all of a sudden God begins to work in those positions of blessing in your life. And Tori, as I was preaching a while ago, I just wanted to tell you this. You're coming to your season. God says, your dreams are coming to pass. Now's the time. Right there, the Lord spoke to me. He said, this is your season. And I want you to get your hands out and get ready to receive, because God says to drop it. Drop his, the things you've been dreaming are coming right now. Right now. He said, I'm breaking off all the past, all the yesterday. And he's already loosed you from that. And because of that, because you have been delivered from yesterday, God says, this is a now time in your life. Dreams are coming to pass. Y'all don't want me to finish my sermon?
Sorry.
I think I'm done. Oh, no, I'm not. Last scripture. Isaiah. He said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And it's springing forth. And then he says this, do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? Do you not see it? You see, the new thing can't come till you see it. He said, I will make the wilderness and the rivers. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He said, I'm doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing, Kelly. He said, what's been a desert and a wilderness, it's about to be a lush green. How do I know that? Because I'm perceiving it. I'm seeing it in the eyes of the Lord. Dream. 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 I told you to do this the last time I preached this, but I want you to take just a moment, get your phone out, get your pen out. If you didn't do it already, maybe you already have it written down somewhere. But listen, you've got to get yourself in a place that you start believing in the dream that God wants to give you. I want you to write down some things like, God, what am I dreaming? If you're not, if you don't have a dream right now, you can write down. Then I want you to write down, God, give me your dreams. And then I want you to start praying into those dreams. And it's, listen, don't let your past disappointments keep you from his purpose. There's nobody in this room today that hasn't had disappointments. Nobody. Every person in this house today has had disappointments. Some greater, feels like greater. You always feel like my disappointment's always greater. And I'm preaching to myself today. I said to myself this morning, Pastor Marvin, don't live in your disappointments. Live in your purpose. When I read that this morning, because I was like, you know what? It's so easy to live in my disappointments. It's so easy to live in those places where I feel like it didn't all turn out the way it should, or could have been this or could have been that. And when you live in your past disappointments, you never can see your destiny. Somebody said that's a good word. And so I'm putting all my past disappointments aside, whatever it might be, because that's not, that wasn't, most of our past disappointments were never God's plan. I just heard a word from the Lord just then. He said a lot of times we're living in our past disappointments because we had an Ishmael when God said, wait on an Isaac. We got ahead of God. The reason we had a disappointment is because we got ahead of God. And we prematurely tried to bring God's plan into our life. And it became a disappointment that the devil keeps reminding us of. That's a good reason to put it behind, is it not? And say, I'm putting that past disappointment behind and I'm getting my eyes on the Lord. Let's stand this morning. Praise you, Jesus.